Welcome to Season 2 of Resting Glitch Face, a Shadowrun actual play.
This is Shannon. I'm playing Eris.
Hi, this is Sid, and I'm playing Jet.
This is Dot. I'm playing Binary.
This is Maddie. I'm playing Collateral.
And my name is Eric, the Game Master. Be warned, some of the following content is not suitable for all audiences.
Okay, I'm a little more concerned about Mary's safety.
Cascade looks over at Mary and he looks back at you. You say that my wife wanted to kill her.
Yes.
Did she say why?
I didn't give her long enough to explain.
It's because Mary doesn't have any essence.
Mary's a technomancer. She can also astrally perceive. She's also both 9 and 24. We found her in a black egg with a bunch of stuff with Kenzu Kidora's symbol on it.
He just like starts blinking like information overload. I see. And then he stops for a second and he says, where did you find her?
In the containment zone.
In the CZ, yeah.
She was in a basement under a gym.
He see him like click, 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 click on his
old ass comm,
and he pulls up a map of St. Louis and he says, can you point to exactly where?
I take that image and enhance it, and I put all the points that were from the Unity symbol, from the map that I saw when I slotted the first chip.
Okay. And do you connect them?
Yes.
Okay. So as she's doing this, Joe, you notice that she's starting to connect these different spots, and it's falling along the
ley lines
that you saw earlier.
That's a different answer, Val.
So we were sent into the CZ to just get any bit of information for a security company that one of the girls in our, actually Catherine Dumanil's daughter, one of her daughters, used to be part of our group. We don't know where she is. It doesn't matter at this point. So we were given this job by this security corporation, Rhino Global Security, I think that's what it's called.
Cascade nods and he says, a subsidiary of Cross Applied Technologies. Yeah.
I'm so sorry. It is what now?
Cascade's eyes narrow for a moment. I think I understand what is happening. My wife was very interested in, by extension, her mother, very interested in an old myth of a being called the Ajita. Have you ever heard of it?
Yes. That's what Pierre said when we were on the roof at the stacks. He called Mary the Ajita.
Do you know what that means?
No.
Well, according to my wife, the Ajita is a being who can be in all spaces at once.
Okay.
Physical.
Yes.
Mystical.
Yes.
And digital.
That's Mary.
Yeah, that's Mary.
The legend of the Ajita, the purpose of the legend, is that there's one camp that believes that the Ajita will bring about a golden age for the world.
Okay.
Another believes that it will not bring about a golden age, but stop an ancient evil from coming to our world. And there are those that believe that the Ajita will purify the world. And that's bringing about a golden age and purifying are two totally different things.
Right.
I know for a fact that Lucien Cross was obsessed with the Ajita.
If we're going to bring up Cross, all cards on the table, my father is Lucien Cross.
What?
I have two other sisters, Vanessa, who I've been trying to find for years, and you discovered in the CZ.
We don't know for sure that thing was ever human.
I know. It was her. And now Veronica, who is a figurehead for Az Technology.
He shrugs and he says, I've read the records. Lucien Cross only had one daughter, and her name's Veronica.
What?
That doesn't...
Okay.
But he was obsessed with trying to create the Ajita. I think you're a product of that.
Like a clone?
Or something.
And Mary, too?
If Mary was one of Lucien's products.
She's a mini Val. I knew it.
My mom supposedly worked for Cross.
It might be relevant, but Jenna Mayfair's father worked for Cross. He was very close to Lucien. Very close.
This is the part where squinting. You tell us. This is the part where you tell us that you used to own Cross Applied Technologies, Luke.
All right, he says, no. Oh. I did not.
So we have three orphans whose parents all worked for Cross Applied Technologies, who all ended up
at the same
orphanage under dubious circumstances in each and every one of your situations.
Yes. I have every reason to believe that every bad thing that happened to us, Daly was aware of and often took active part in.
Right. I forgot to mention the orphanage that did extensive experiments on you and definitely fucked up your magic and who knows what they did to you. Okay. All right. So everything goes back to Aunt Delilah's and Cross Applied Technologies.
But I don't know if I trust that, you know, my mom did work for Cross because Pierre told me, and I have reason to believe that Pierre isn't even Pierre.
But he gave you her ring, and it has the Cross Applied Technology symbol on
it. I mean, yes, it does.
Yeah.
But who's to say that he didn't, like, why does he have this, first of all? Mm-hmm. But why did I talk to somebody yesterday who told me that his name is actually Xavier Willette?
Who did you talk to?
A technomancer.
Val's eyes go really fucking wide. What fucking technomancer?
Name was Saban.
She darts her eyes at Mary.
Mary says, yeah, Saban.
Mary, you were supposed to wait. You were supposed to wait for me.
Okay. But in Mary's defense, I asked.
Why would you talk to a technomancer without me?
Because I had a question.
Do you have any idea how many questions I've fucking had, Joe? And here we are.
She was trying to look out for Mary.
Well, yeah, but I don't know if this person is on our side.
Gave us some pretty good leads. I know that we're all cardsing on the table right now, but can we take just like 5 minutes to do some quick research?
Yeah.
Can you look up this fucker's name?
Yeah. I don't want to roll for shit.
All right, you're paying a plot point for what?
Any and all information I can get on Xavier Willette.
Okay. Xavier Willette, you spent a plot point. So that's going to cut through some shit.
I'm going to go VR for this, and I'll share the information that I'm gathering through everybody's comms so we can stay connected.
Okay, so Xavier Willette, he worked for Cross Applied Technologies, like directly with Lucien Cross. Apparently, he was a seraphim and was charged with training his otaku.
That's like the pre-technomancers, right?
Right. That being said, when Lucien Cross died, Xavier stayed in Montreal for a little while and started to develop this technomancer cult, essentially. Started going by the name Brother Voix. and formed this cult of Usir, which, and I look at Mary, that we've seen him, right? That's who that is.
She nods. She says, yes, the golden light. Yes.
Yes.
It's so bright. Yes.
Okay. So did some sketchy ass shit with some technomancers, essentially just finding children that possess the ability and were farming them into his cult. Eventually settled in New Orleans at one point, but came to St. Louis for a period. And that's, Joe, that's where he adopted you and took the name Pierre LeBlanc.
Man.
Do we have any more cards that need to be put on any more tables? I'm asking out of politeness because I have to go run some errands.
What do you mean, run errands?
Oh, I gotta go see a rat.
No. Joe, we can't. Yes, we should do that, but not by yourself. Please, Joe.
I don't think any of you want to be there.
This has just as much to do with me as it does with you. I mean, I know, and I understand why you are hurt and why you are angry, and you have every right to be. But you can't do this on your own. We can't do this separate from each other anymore.
You can be there, but I do not want you getting between the two of us.
I can promise you that I won't do that, but I still, before you end this man, because I know that's where things are going, he may have information.
Oh, don't worry. He's gonna sing.
Right. So instead of you seeing red and not seeing past all of that, we need to do this together.
I just need you to be aware that when I see him again, when I ask him these questions and get this information, you are not going to like the person that I am when I'm doing that.
Joe, there is nothing that you could do that would make me not love you.
Oh, she tears up a little bit at that.
I give you a big ol' hug.
I think probably at some point during that conversation, Eris kind of extracted herself from you. Is no longer being hugged. Like, probably as soon as Joe is like,
I gotta run some errands.
Starts radiating yellow glow.
Can we just take a second, you guys?
Why? Sorry.
I think before Joe leaves, Eris would try and talk to her and just be like, I know you're gonna do whatever you're gonna do, and I'm pretty sure you don't want me to come with you.
I'm just pretty sure that you're not gonna like the person that you see there. So if you're not down for that, that's totally fine.
I don't think it's a matter of what I will or not like, but I think that you deserve to do this on your own.
I'll take that. Thank you.
Just remember what you promised me this morning, please.
This is the safest pig roast that I think I'm ever going to go to in my life.
Just remember, you don't know anything about him.
Val will be there to back me up.
Hell yeah! Before Joe and I leave, I look at Mary and I'm like, I'm not leaving you again, I promise.
I know, I'm coming with you.
Damn right.
Mary, shouldn't she stay here where it's safe?
I don't know why it would be any safer for her here than with me.
You're literally taking her to someone who wants to capture her and use her for their... You know what?
He's not going to be around long enough for that to happen.
If he wanted to capture me, he could have done it already.
Yeah. He wants to use her.
Right, because I think he already has captured her a time or two.
Right. So anything that he could have done to her would have already happened. So my thought is, she's not in any safer hands here than she would be if she was with me and Joe.
You know what? You're right. Mary, remember our talk.
Okay. All right. So, Eris, you are now alone at the house with your parents and Cascade Greenleaf.
Oh, man. This isn't going to be awkward at all.
Cascade is, you see him, he's mostly just kind of looking around the house, kind of like, you know, not like being snoopy or anything like that, but more of a just kind of like he's got some nervous tension going on. And you guys have already talked about some stuff. So, and your mom is just looking at you, not like mean, but just kind of almost like she doesn't recognize you.
Oh, man. It's the walk of shame hair I got going on. Isn't it?
So, yeah, she's looking at you, and then you kind of see her looking at you. You get that, oh, my God, my hair looks terrible. You know, I've been just in this burrito for, you know, whatever.
But I did magical girl change into my suit.
So you're in your suit, like your shadow running suit.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, because it was either that or Joe's too big clothing.
Okay.
And my mom is my mom.
Right. So she's looking at you and then she says, what are you wearing?
She's probably, well,
I don't think she's ever seen you in your Shadowrun stuff.
Right. But she's seen me in a suit before.
Yes, but this is a shadow. This is your Shadowrun suit. So it's a suit suit.
It's a suit suit.
But it's armored. All right. So she says, what are you wearing?
Suits.
All right. She kind of gives you kind of a squinty eyed look and she says, it's not the fact that it's a suit, but there's something wrong with the cut. And then, and then Cascade kind of turns and looks and he says, it's armored.
Yeah.
And she looks at you again and says, armored?
Yep. Yeah, this is what I wear on the job.
Are you on the job now?
No, but it was this or Joe's Attack on Titan hoodie.
And she said job. She almost spit it out.
This just looked a little more presentable than Joe's Attack on Titan hoodie.
I see.
I can change if you want me to.
Do whatever you think is best, I guess. Whatever makes you comfortable.
Give me just a second.
Okay.
I go downstairs and I grab some of Joe's clothes that are comfy as opposed to looking nice. Like I literally just don't care. I wear Joe's comfiest sweats.
That are huge.
They're so big on me.
Massive.
Lucas is here, right? He's they brought him with.
Yeah. You have to roll up the fucking legs.
You roll down the waistband you and gotta roll up the
wrap the little like belts tie around like three times.
Listen.
All right. So you come back?
Yeah, I come back. I'm like,
all right. And she watches you walk back and then she just kind of,
is this okay?
All right. She just shrugs her shoulders, but you can tell on her face she is not pleased one bit. But your dad kind of looks over at you and was like, oh, are those your genie pants?
Joe's massive.
And he's just smiling, you know. He's like, all right, Hammer.
What does that even mean?
All right, he just kind of waves you off like, don't worry about it. Cascade's like, I'm going to step out and get some air, I think.
That's a good call.
And you see that he's like, he kind of looks at your mom almost like, you know, not necessarily disapproving or anything like that, but just something about your mom kind of seems to rub him the wrong way.
Yeah.
And so he just steps out.
So?
Your dad is kind of looking around and is like, Goody, whose place is this?
Joe and Val.
Oh. How do you stay here often?
Sometimes.
It's a nice place.
Yeah, it's usually a bit tidier than this, but there's been a lot of in and out lately.
Mm. And he kind of gives you like a
No, not and, Dad.
And your mom's like, Lucas, stop. And he's like, what?
Dad, how are you doing?
I'm okay, I guess. I mean, you know, some of the weakness is still there, and I still feel some like pins and needles in my hand and my feet and stuff, but it doesn't look like there was a lot of like serious damage done.
Are you gonna need more? I mean, you're a doctor, but are you gonna need more medical attention than this?
All right, he says, no, no, I'm okay. And then he kind of gives your mom a weird look.
I look between them.
All right, and she says, don't pester your father right now. He's tired.
Okay.
And he's like, I'm not tired. I'm just irritated. And she's like, okay, at me? And he says, I don't want to get into it right now, but we don't get to see Goody. You know, she's so busy. I'd rather just hang out. Is that okay? And then he looks at you.
If you don't think we should talk about it.
All right. You see his eyes kind of go over towards your mom and then back to you. And he says, Cascade said that he had obtained some information. And one of the reasons why he went to the hospital was because I was being manipulated there. He just looks at you and he says, My condition wasn't as bad as it was being presented. I had a stroke. It was induced.
Right, by the thing in your head. And I look at my mom, and then I look back at my dad.
And they were keeping me medically sedated, but I don't know why.
Okay.
And these are colleagues of mine. Some of them I went to medical school with.
Babushka, she said she's pretty much been manipulating everything for a very long time.
Your mom leans forward and she says, how dare you? After...
How dare I tell my dad why he almost died? I'm not spreading lies. Your mother told me this.
And what are you going to do about it, Bianca?
What can I do about it, Mother?
Nothing. When dealing with her... You do nothing, and I am not joking with you. Do not get in her way. Do not cross her. You do nothing.
Oh, so I just lay down and let her kidnap Azalea and do some sort of demon baby summoning with her? I just let her murder my girlfriend, my best friend? I let her almost kill Dad? You're fine with this.
Okay, your grandmother did not kidnap Azalea. She was taken by gangsters.
Oh, gangsters that report to Babushka.
Now you're starting to sound like those crazy conspiracy people.
Oh my gosh, are you serious right now? You don't even like her. Why are you defending her?
I know from experience. I've been in your position before.
Have you?
Well, not exactly, but I rebelled against her once.
I'm not rebelling against her. I'm trying to keep my family safe.
And that's why you do what she wants.
What she wants is to kill my girlfriend.
Why? Why would she want to do that?
Because she wants to burn out her magical essence in order to do some dumb thing. But it'll result in Joe being gone. She's going to be dead because that's what she does. She takes people and she uses them up until they're not who they were anymore.
Okay. You're being dramatic.
Oh my gosh.
Your grandmother does what she does. Mm-hmm. And she only steps on those that get in her way. Not everything is about you and your girlfriend.
I know. And I'm not saying they are you at.
Why do you hate me?
I don't hate you. I love you and I care about you. And I don't like what your mother is doing to
she
you.
She points at your dad and says, this is all your fault. If you wouldn't have started all of this, your father wouldn't be like this.
Are you kidding me?
And Lucas looks over and is like, what?
Are you kidding me?
You crossed her, and now she's ruining our family.
Okay, how did I cross her? Do you know how I crossed her?
She's identified someone that she wants to focus her attention on, and you're trying to distract them.
I hadn't done anything with Joe when she did that. You know what I did to get in her way?
What?
I saved Azalea. She was being kept in the stacks. I saved her.
Yes, I know.
And I brought her to Dad.
Mm-hmm.
Then Dad and I are trying to get away, and this happens. She does this to him. It had nothing, as you said, not everything's about me and my girlfriend. It had nothing to do with Joe.
This is your fault. If you would have done what I asked you to.
I did what you asked me to. I went and got Azalea.
And in the process, got Claude killed. And then you hear Lucas go, enough. And he stands up. He says, if the two of you are going to go at each other's throats, I'm not going to sit here and listen to this shit. Goody, come talk to me. And he just walks out of the room. And your mom's just staring at you.
I look back to her and I say, like, I'm standing up and I'm going to follow my dad. And I look back at my mom and I'm like, why do you hate me? And then I just walk.
All right, so
Jet was on the back of this motorcycle crying into the calm.
After a brief time, you feel the bike kind of drift. Mm-hmm. And then slow down. And when you look up, you're in a Nuket Burger parking lot.
Hell yeah, dog.
And he's just sitting there. He's not in the drive through or anything like that. He's not even really in a parking spot. He's just kind of there. And, you know, so the bike stopped. He doesn't have his kickstand down or anything. He's mm-hmm. just got his, you know, feet on either side. He's just kind of sitting there. And it's like he's listening to you cry.
She kind of holds him tighter. And she's at this point coming down a little bit. So she's just, instead of like racking sobs, it's now just kind of sniffling and shaking a little.
Are you doing that?
Yeah, that thing. And she says, are we stopping for Nuket Burger? Is that what this is? All
right. He says, no. I'm not hungry. And you feel him, you know, kick the, you know, lower his kickstand mm-hmm. so that way the bike is now, and it's still idling.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of turns, so he's like, he's not like sitting side saddle, but he's definitely turned like his torso so he can look back at you.
Mm-hmm.
And he puts his arm, like reaches back, puts his arm around you, and he says, I don't want to know what she said to you. But at least give me a reason not to go back there.
I don't think there's anything I can say about what just happened that can, like, convince you. I thought that I was better than this. I thought that I had finally grown up enough that she couldn't do this to me again. I don't know. I just don't leave me.
All right. He's got his arm around you. He's kind of looking down at you and he says, babe, I'd never leave you. You know that. You're the strongest woman I know.
I don't feel all that strong.
Hmm. Well, I do know this, that of everyone, and I mean everyone, I've ever met, you're the only one who treated me like a person. Everybody else just were either disregarding or using me. You have a beautiful soul.
And Jet starts kind of sniffing again, just like, it sounds like everyone else was fragging stupid.
They were. And then he shuts the bike off and he steps off the bike while you're still sitting on it. So that way he can actually face you.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I don't ever want to see you cry again. because I don't think I could handle it.
If we're... Is it still raining? I'm assuming it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hell yeah, dog.
Yeah, you're under the street light, you know, like the parking light.
Oh, so romantic. So she was holding herself in really tightly, and she relaxes a little, and then she says, "Well, I mean, if we're doing confessions, then you're the... I feel like you're the only person in this city who's nice to me. Who's never been. You've always been so nice to me. Would it be weird if I said that I love you?"
All right, he's looking at you. I guess that depends on if you do or not.
All right, let's take this for a spin. Doglish. She looks him dead in the eye and she says, "I love you."
All right. You see him, he blinks like he didn't expect you to actually say it. And then you see like the corner of his lip starts to twitch a little bit, like,
oh no,
like quiver. And he says, "Juilliard, call me Herbert."
Yeah, that's it. That's the end.
Perfect.
All right. So where are you going to meet Pierre?
We are going to meet Pierre. I was thinking like Lafayette Park.
All right. So you meet at Lafayette Square. And when you arrive, how are you getting there?
Bramblam.
Okay. So you take the Bramblam. And yeah, Pierre is sitting there eating a hot dog, like a chili dog. And it's just spilling all over his chest as he's eating it. So he's like, he's sitting there and he's wearing, a Cardinals t-shirt. And cargo pants.
Respect the logo, Pierre.
All right. He's like, "Oh, shit. Sorry." And he's like, "I'm completely out of napkins." And then he looks up and he sees Val and he's like, "Oh, you brought a friend."
And Mary.
And don't Mary forget along. Mary.
Is Mary physically there or is she in the car?
No, I attached to the hip.
Okay. All right. So he's like, "Oh shit, I ran out of napkins." And he looks up and he sees the three of you standing there and he's like, oh, "I didn't realize we were meeting as a group. Hi everybody."
"Hi Pierre. This is everyone."
"Yeah, we've met."
"Do you want to go for a walk?"
"Like walk around the park?"
"Yeah."
All right. He's like, "Okay." And he kind of like wraps his hot dog, his chili dog in like the foil that it came in. He sticks it into his cargo pants and then he kind of flexes his toes a little bit and he slides them into his hemp sandals. You see he's got like three toe rings on.
Joe like internally shivers. "Yeah, no, thanks for meeting us here, Pierre. You know, I don't know. I got the itch to see you. What can I say?"
As he's sitting there, he just kind of looks over at the others standing there, and he definitely seems a little nervous or edgy, you know, something just kind of, it's like he picks up that something's not right. And roll an observation.
That is 3 successes.
All right. What you pick up is he's talking to you. He's kind of looking at you, but then every once in a while, his eyes kind of cut towards Mary. And then back to you. He doesn't seem to care too much about Boggs or Val, but as he's looking at you and talking to you, his eyes every once in a while go in Mary's direction.
"Oh yeah, Mary. You've met Mary, right?"
Yeah. I mean, I think yeah.
"Yeah, we're doing like a big brother's big sister thing with her."
"What?"
Val absolutely pipes up. "Excuse me? That's your reaction to the torture that you essentially tried to put her through?"
All right. Then he leans forward and he says, "Joe, can we, like, not have an audience right now?"
"Don't worry about it. We're leaving."
"Yeah. Can you get me a pistachio ice cream?"
"Sure, babe."
"Thanks."
You see him kind of watching them walk. And then he looks back at you and he says, I'm real sorry about that."
"Hey, I mean, look, I can tell that you're really trying to be a good dad. Like, I get it.
You see his eyes kind of widen for a second, and like almost the corners of his mouth quiver a little bit, and he says, did you just call me dad?
Well, I mean, if we're being technical, I said you're trying to be a good dad, and I'm recognizing all that you've done to me.
I see. Well, you know, I've not been perfect. That's for sure. And there's a lot of things that I do regret. There are some things that I probably would have done differently if I had the chance.
What sort of, I mean, like what? Like leaving mom? Like what? You've told me some about, you know, what happened before, but you've never told me the whole story.
About your mom?
Yeah. Like what kind of person was she?
Well, I mean, she was very young when we met, and, you know, I think, well, it's really hard for me to talk about, but mm-hmm. I understand. And he kind of like starts walking, you know, with you. And as you're like walking, you notice that he's like leaning into you a little bit. And, you know, he's like, I feel like maybe my commitment wasn't right. Mm. And then he stops for a second and he looks over his shoulder and then he looks back at you and he says, what do you really want to talk to me about?
Well, kind of what I was working up to here. When you met mom, did she know you by another name by chance? Like, I don't know, Xavier Wallet? Does that sound familiar?
All right. You see his eyes close for a second as if he's like, he gets this expression of like, oh, fuck, here we go. When he opens his eyes, you feel like he's looking at you, but almost like looking past you, almost like he's not quite focused on your face. Mm-hmm. And he says, I knew someday this would happen. And I never expected you to turn on me.
I don't know that it's a question of me turning on you, because that would mean that you were on my side to begin with.
All right, he blinks for a second and he says, I'm sorry, what?
Look, Pierre, here, the truth of it is that your shit stinks and I can smell it. Is it? Oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't even call you Pierre anymore because that's not your name. So we've got a couple of options. Do you want to be Xavier? Do you want to be Brother Voix? Like, how would you prefer me to call you?
All right. He's like looking down at his hands as you're saying this. And then he turns his eyes up. And then you know distinctly, he is not looking at you. He's looking right over your shoulder. And then he like looks over your shoulder and then he looks right into your eyes and says, what has she told you?
I know everything.
I doubt that. Now, I don't know what people have been feeding you, Joe. And I know that we've never seen things quite equally. But I can tell you one thing without a doubt. I have always thought of you as my daughter.
Was that even before you kidnapped me?
All right. A little bit of a twinge of a smile on the corners of his mouth. And he says, no, no. But I do regret the things that happened to you.
And in that moment, Joe like grabs him by the lapel and like swings him into a tree.
All right. When you do that, you like grab him by the lapel, you slam him into a tree, and the result you get is as like the air is expelled from his lungs, and then he starts to laugh, almost like he's enjoying this. Oh. So he's like, yeah.
Joe punches the tree next to him as hard as she can.
All right, yeah. So yeah, you punch the tree, and there's the ripple of yellow energy that used to come up all the time. It hasn't actually come up in a while since you've gone through your transformation, but right now it's back. And when it flashes, you see his eyes get big, and he looks at you, and he says, "Yes, yes, that's my girl."
I'm not your girl. What the fuck? Why? Why did any of this happen? Why did you take me?
Oh, well, that's not a question to ask me.
Who?
The person who paid me to do it.
she punches him in the face.
All right. Pow, like full on, like
no,
break your face or break your nose?
She's not trying to decapitate this man.
So give him a love tap enough to break his nose or just make his nose bleed?
She's just going to, I'm just going to roll a quick, like just regular, normal person punch.
Okay.
That's four successes.
Four? Net two.
Okay, yeah.
So, all right. So you smack him one, a pretty good one. So he's like moderately wounded at this point. So, yeah, you hit him and, you know, you can feel the cartilage of his nose just kind of collapse under your knuckles. And, yeah, just spray of blood. And now blood is just like gushing out of his nose. And, you know, his nose is now flat. And he's like, just let it out, Joe. Just let it out. I deserve it all.
Yes, you do. And more, but I can't let you die yet because I've got questions. And Joe is going to really quick pull up her comm.
You pull up your comm, and as you kind of look at one of your AR windows, you see a jogger has stopped and is like staring at what's going on.
Joe turns around and does like the little lunge forward, like do something.
All right, he like throws his comm on the ground and runs away.
Fuck yes.
Joe's a fucking bully.
Yeah, Pierre's a nerd, and I'm taking his lunch money.
Hell yeah, babe.
Joe pulls her comm up and calls Val really quick.
Hey, you good?
Yeah, yeah. Hey, did you have any questions for Monsieur Wallet?
I mean, the only thing that I would really need to ask him about is Usir, this drama with the God of Golden Light that I've been dealing with, but... That's up to you.
His eyes are going from you, Joe, to the window you called up in your AR. He looks at you and he says, why are you even bothering with that thing?
Not everyone's a decker like you, you dickhead.
He smiles and you see, you know, like he's got blood all in the cracks of his teeth. And he says, Decker, no, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about that thing you call your friend.
That's my fucking sister.
She's not even a person, Joe. She's not even a real person.
She grabs him like under his throat and like lifts him off the ground.
All right, he kind of, you see him kind of squirm a little bit under your grasp. Are you like choking the air out of him or are you just holding him?
I'm just holding him for now. I'm trying to intimidate him.
Okay. It seems to be having a weird effect on him, almost as if it's pleasurable, not like in a sexual manner, but more of just a, you know, it's like he's finally getting the punishment he deserves. That's the way you feel.
She like throws him on the ground behind right. her.
He falls down and he rolls to his side and he says, I had to put you in that place.
You had to. They ruined me.
No, he ruined you.
I just want to name who the fuck told you to do this and why me? Why pretend to be my dad? That doesn't make any sense. Is that some sort of sick fantasy? Did you always want a kid and you could never do it?
No, I've had plenty of kids. I needed you because you were special. I needed you. At first, I thought you were some cosmic joke, but then I realized that you were the key that I was always looking for. And then he looks over your shoulder and he's like, shut the fuck up.
Who are you talking to?
A traitor.
Oh, you're talking to my buddy Savan, aren't you?
All right. He kind of like snot bubbles of blood kind of like out of his nose as he starts laughing. And he goes, is that what she's calling herself now? That's rich. That's really rich, Savan. There's nothing pure about her at all.
I don't give a shit what kind of person she is, because she showed me the kind of person that you are.
Oh. And he like wipes his eyes and he says, ugh. She's the kind of person that would screw over her entire group of friends. She's the kind of person who would get them all killed. She's the kind of person who would turn on the only person that ever showed her any decency and showed her how to live and how to make things of this life. And he's not even looking at you. You are a traitor, bitch. You are a fucking traitor.
All right, I think we are done here. And she, like, stomps him in the gut.
All right, and he goes, oh, And he kind of looks at you, and he says, I know where you've been spending your days.
Tell me about Usir.
His eyes kind of open a minute, and he says, fuck you.
You don't realize how fucked you are, dude.
Oh, no, I've seen the face of God. I'm good.
Give me a fucking name. Who hired you?
He kind of rolls over, and you'd kicked him in the gut, and he's like wheezing, and then he kind of goes, and you see him like gurgle up some blood. So you know he's got some internal damage going.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks at you and he says, ask your girlfriend.
Why would Bianca know?
He smiles and he says, it was her grandma that did it. Peabody. Peabody paid me to take you.
Joe like just stands there dumbfounded for a minute.
She, and then he kind of gurgles again and says, well, more, she gave you to me and told me to keep you safe. And I did. That was my job. That was my penance.
Dead men have no reason to lie, do they?
And he just looks at you and he says, if you're going to do it, do it. My Lord awaits me. I've seen his face and it is beautiful.
Hallelujah. And she scoops him up, and I think instead of just breaking his neck, she's gonna hold him up in the air and she's gonna cast Flame Strike on him, and she's just gonna immolate him.
Okay.
Holy so, fuck!
All right, so yeah, just
hell yeah, hell yeah!
All right, make an observation check.
Two successes.
Okay, Val, are you still linked in with her?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're linked in with her through her image link and everything. You see exactly what's going on. And also with you being there, are you VR at this point, or are you just looking through a...
I would probably be VR at this point. All if right. As soon as she called me, I probably went VR. All just right.
So yeah, you're sitting in a park bench, you know, eating ice cream, and you know, you kind of slump over, and Mary's like got her hand on your back, like holding you up so you don't look like a drunk.
I love that girl.
So yeah, your VR, you're looking, and as you're standing, you're watching what happens. You see that there is a very slight looking elf persona standing there with like glowing, almost like nano tats over her skin. She's just like watching what's going on. And then when you look at her, she looks at you and she gives you like the Superman wink. Mm-hmm. And then she's gone. And soon as she's gone, you know that she had been suppressing some feeds and things like that while she was there. So now that she's gone, there are like, there's drones in the air, and a couple of them, like, you know, one you distinctly see KSDK on the side. So like news drones and things like that just kind of flitting around. And as soon as she's gone, a couple of them go whoop, whoop, and like turn in the direction of the fire. And Joe, you hold him, and he just says, I come to you, Usir, as he's screaming as you're immolating him.
This man's a pervert.
After this happens, Joe, what do you do, or what are you going to do with the body? I mean, he doesn't completely like atomize.
Yeah. No, there's like a lake in Lafayette Park. I think
there's a couple of ponds.
Yeah, she just hucks him in there and goes and eats her pistachio ice cream.
Right, so yeah, you huck him, and when you do that, you realize that you immolated him and everything about him, with one exception. One of his toe rings didn't melt or anything. It's actually completely pristine, and it like fell onto the ground next to you as you immolated him.
That's gross. She does pick it up, but she like picks it up with a napkin.
Right. Yeah, you pick it up with a napkin and you kind of look at it, and you know, much like the One Ring, it, you know, it's kind of glowing a little bit, and it has an etching on the inside, and it says for 10 years of service. And then you see the symbol of Cross Applied Technologies.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Resting Glitch Face. Theme music by Synthesk.
Background music by Machinima Sound. Outro music by Austin Miller. Edited and produced by Sid. Continuity consulting by Dot. Shadowrun is property of Catalyst Game Labs. Resting Glitch Face is a production of Openly Gamer Theater and property of Side Tangent Productions.